0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, Joe Forte owns one of the best-known shops in Ballyfermot in Dublin. It's called Jer's Deli, but this is a story peculiar to, well, I think it's peculiar to Ballyfermot. So, Joe, you better convince the rest of the nation why they should be hearing you at this moment. What is the problem?
The problem that we have, Joe, is as a business end of it, Dublin Bus Connect is coming in here now with two bus corridors through Ballyfermot.
Okay.
Which makes Ballyfermot a hub for Liffey Valley. The problem that we have is we're losing our heritage. We're losing our car parking spaces outside our businesses. We're losing our roundabout that's iconic to Ballyfermot, which there's no need to take the roundabout away, but they want to take it away and put in traffic lights. They want to turn Ballyfermot into a one-way system from the old county bar down to as far as the Assumption Church.
Okay, just so that, hang on, Joe. We need to locate it better for people who've never been to Ballyfermot. Okay. The two bus corridors will be on the same main road, as they call it in Ballyfermot.
On the same main road, yeah. It's cycle tracks.
Okay, it's a narrow main road. There's a main road that runs from the bottom of Ballyfermot, Inchicore, straight up to the spine of Ballyfermot and finishes in the Liffey Valley, basically. That is the main road. It's relatively narrow. It was built, 60, 70 years ago. The main road is the main way in and out of Ballyfermot. You can go across the Coymore Road, but the main road, bizarrely, is the main way in it. So it's the main thoroughfare. They're putting in two bus corridors.
And two cycle tracks, yeah.
And what becomes of the road? What's left of the road?
There's very little, Joe, very little. Like, I've never heard of a shopping centre that didn't have a car park outside its shops. So how are you supposed to do business for a start? The other important thing is when they go to redirect this traffic, it's going to be redirected down by five schools, and it's also going to make the likes of Lafond Road a main thoroughfare, and the likes of Coymore Avenue, which is a smaller area, a main thoroughfare. So if you take, for instance, for people who in Ballyfermot would know this, if you were coming from Ballyfermot Avenue to the Assumption Church, it would take you approximately 1 minute in a car to get to the church or to the credit union or to the bank. When the new proposals comes in, it'll take you approximately 10 to 15 minutes because you'll be redirected out of the area. So it doesn't make any sense for us. Now, the lower end of Ballyfermot, they're moving. We've already lost the 79 bus route. So people in the lower end of Ballyfermot don't go to Mass anymore because they've no way to, senior citizens, no way getting to the church.
And where did the 79 bus route go?
The 79 went down
my mistake. Where has it gone? Sorry, why was it abandoned?
No, it's gone completely. Why? I don't know, because they said they were bringing in these new buses that were supposed to link up. But the bus stops for the post be handy for the people of Ballyfermot to get to, and now they're going to move them again. So it's going to make it more difficult for people in the lower end of Ballyfermot to get in.
And am I correct in saying that the 18 bus route is gone as well?
That's gone as well, yeah. That's an S4 now. And so for even the 76 is gone now as well. So if you want to go to Tally, you have to go to Liffey Valley. But everything is based around Liffey Valley.
But the S4 isn't the same route, is it, as the 18?
The S4 goes now to out to where you are in Donnybrook. Goes to UCD.
Does it go from the cemetery, Parmesan Cemetery?
No, it goes from Liffey Valley. They have a link bus, DL55, that goes from Chapelitter to Parmesan Village. We weren't even consulted. Joe, this was railroad again, why the pandemic hit. You know, so nobody has contacted me as a businessman. Okay, concerns were.
There have been meetings. What? Tell me about those meetings.
Well, we've had two major protests in the area, and we had a meeting with them in Dublin City Council last week. But they only allowed 10 people to represent the whole of Ballyfermot to attend that. Now, this is not done on our own, but we have councillors on our side. We have everybody on our side. We had over 1,500 people on a protest through Ballyfermot trying to let people know what was going to happen. Now, the outcome of the meeting, Joe, from Bus Connect was like, these plans have gone through, so there's not, they're not going to be changed.
Well, then you want more news from Bus Connect. Bus Connect to the National Transport Authority. Planning for the construction phase has now commenced, with construction of the first scheme expected to commence early next year. End of. Bye-bye.
And it'll be, it'll take 3 years to probably to finish the project. And in the process of that as well, Joe, they're going to turn off power to our premises for up to 4 to 6 hours a day. Well, that's my old business, because I only open 9 to 2.
And, like, if you have the support of the councillors and you have the support of the public in Ballyfermot, you say you're getting 1,000 people at a meeting, but Bus Connect's in that statement basically saying you can whistle.
Yeah, you can whistle down the Swanee down the river, or whatever you want to call it. It's just there's been no communication with us at all. This is what was, in my opinion, was railroad again where the pandemic hit. People couldn't come out and protest against it because we weren't allowed to. So this was pushed under the table again. The planning was given, the approval was given, and then the CPO was put on it, which is a compulsion order. People are losing some of their drive-ins down the lower end of Ballyfermot as well.
Bus Connect says there was public consultation. 51551's our text number, by the way. There was statutory public consultation, submissions made directly to On Board Planala, and consent was received from On Board Planala on the 19th of December last.
Well, I got no indication of what was going on. No letter came into my premises to say this is going to happen if you have any objections or what's your concerns. And that's not only from me, Joe, that's from the whole of, you know yourself, from where the Gala Cinema is, down to where Malloy's off licence is. All them shops are going to suffer now because we'll have no car parking. I've 7 staff. 3 of them have to drive to work, so there's nowhere for them to park. I've no back entrance, so there's nowhere for your deliveries to come in and out unless they come through the front of the shop. So it's a complete, in my opinion, disaster of what they're doing to Ballyfermot. And anyone who lives in Ballyfermot, now, by the way, the parish priest, Father Aidan, he brought them out onto the roof of the Assumption Church and showed them the roundabout on how accurate it works without any commotion. And they still say, no, they're taking that roundabout out and they're putting it in traffic lights.
It's one of the most famous roundabouts in the country, I think. It is. It's a massive roundabout. Yeah. Joe, more from Bus Connects. Compensation is payable to any party from whom property is being acquired. However, compensation is not payable for changes to parking spaces on public roads.
Well, we weren't consulted about anything, Joe.
So anyone's having their driveway taken, will they get compo?
Well, they, I'm not 100% sure, Joe, but I know a lot of people from the lower end put in a protest against it, and it was torn down.
Yeah, following the receipt of consent from abroad, we've got a hitting back here. Why don't you come on? Why don't the National Transport Authority come on? Following the receipt of consent from An Bord Pleanála, there was a 2-month period with which An Bord Pleanála decision could be appealed. No such appeals were submitted, Joe Forty, during this period. It's your own fault.
Because we know nothing about it. This was done, as I say, when people couldn't get out to appeal. Like, how come I've never received one letter through my post to say that when this is happening, how it's going to happen and how it's going to affect me, what I could do to object to it? Nothing. We've had meetings going back 10 years ago when I think this was in the pipelines and we had objections to it. But as I say, when the pandemic hit, that was it.
Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text, 0818715815. Brian Whelan is in Borkey in Dublin. He's owner of one of the most famous shops in the capital called Birmingham Cameras. Now, on, as I said, on Borkey. Brian, good afternoon. What's happening outside your shop?
Hi, Joe.
Yeah.
So months ago, Dublin City Council removed every single parking space that we had on the quay.
Okay.
Now, I have a disabled badge.
Okay.
And there is nowhere, when I said there is nowhere to park, like some months ago, I brought this to Dublin City Council's attention.
Okay.
And within a couple of weeks, they made two disabled spaces about 50 yards away.
Okay.
And within a couple of weeks, they took one away. And more often than not, that's not available because there's other people decide to park half on, half off. So it can't be used now.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I went to town and parked in Delir Street. And before I got to the store, which is only about 100 yards of a walk, I was literally on my all fours. I was panting and puffing, and I was in a really bad way. So I can't get to my place of business. I can't do that every time I want. I want to go in there for a wee while. And like there's thousands of others like me, Joe. Like, you know, Dublin City Council and the Minister of Transport and all that. I mean, he has never, ever, ever turned around and offered any help to the likes of myself and others.
Mm.
You know, unless you're a cyclist, it's just tough luck, end of story. And Dublin City Council, again, for years, as everybody knows, they just do what they want to do whenever they want to do it. But there's no parking. We, you know, it's going to obviously affect our business. And like everybody else that has retail in the city, it's going to affect theirs big, big time as well. I just don't know where I go, because I mean Dublin City Council, I mean I've emailed them a couple of times in the past few weeks and they just ignored it. They don't bother to reply. They we're going to do nothing for you, so you know, tough luck, you know.
And Brian, where were the two again for people? Borkey is between Buck Bridge and O'Connor Bridge on the south side, so to speak.
Yes. Correct, Joe.
The footpath, my memory of where your shop is, near the corner of Hawkins Street there, the footpath is extraordinarily wide.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And that when the Rosie Hackett Bridge was being built, that was when it was widened. And obviously, like, you know, we had three lanes of traffic, went into two lanes of traffic, and now it's one lane of traffic. And as I say, every single parking space that was available is all gone.
But you know, I mean, it's the city council have said it. The new city manager said it. The policy of Dublin City Council, well, the administrators, and they're the powerful ones, is to get the family motorists out of the city. Now they forget to tell us that the city is divided by a river. Which has about nine bridges. The most important bridge is Wood Bridge. So people use, you know, you don't go into the city centre. I know people go in for shops like yourself, unique specialist shops, which are brilliant, and long may it continue. But a lot of people don't drive into the city centre to have a look at what colour the Liffey is today. They drive in to get over the river. They've no other way of getting over the river. Now, where did the council put the two disabled spots that were helpful to you, Brian?
Well, about 50 yards from the store, just when you cross over from George's Quay on the Bourke Quay, where the Garda Immigration Bureau is, just down, at the laneway there.
Where
the old Irish Press used to be, correct, yeah. And so they put two spaces there, and within a fortnight, one was gone.
And that's, is that an inlet for a bus as well?
No, not there. No. Generally, the people that have all the parking around there are for people that work in the Irish Immigration Services there, you know. So, like, you know, they're catered for. But the likes of me is not.
And, Brian, how long have Birmingham's been a Dublin city centre?
Oh, God. Well, look at Joe. I'm there since 1968, so that's over 50 years. And
Brian, do you mind that description?
What's that?
That description that you use, it was almost photographic given your background. Why not? You say you had to walk even a short distance, you'll end up on all fours because of your health difficulties.
Yeah, I do indeed. Yeah. And look at, you know, my staff are witness to that. You know, each and every time I've tried it. And
what is, you want to help yourself, Brian? It's a lung problem, is it?
Well, yeah. Look, I suffer with bronchiectasis, which is okay. You know, kind of severe breathing problem, and I have. Okay, obviously my lungs are not the greatest, and I had last year I had quite a number of heart procedures as well. Okay. And so my body, believe me, Joe, is kind of it's worn out. I still would like to be able to get into my place of work every so often, but it's not possible if I can't get parking anywhere near it.
And Dublin City Council, what do they say? You say they're saying nothing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. As I say, they did put two spaces around the corner. They took one away within days, literally, and since then, they haven't even bothered to reply to me, no, not in the least, no.
And Alan, you've been there since 68. Yeah. You're in the heart of the city. You're a very important shop because you're such a specialist photographic shop, and it's a great reputation going back over the years.
As I was just saying to your colleague there, like, I mean, when I started from Buttbridge to O'Connell Bridge, on both sides of the road, we had parking spaces, like from top to bottom, from O'Connell Bridge to Buttbridge, and there was never ever a problem. Now all of a sudden it's a big problem. As I say, you know, my thing too is, you know, the Minister for Transport, you know, has never ever just mentioned giving any help to the likes of myself and the thousands of disabled drivers, so people with immobilities. The only thing, as you know, he cares about is cyclists. And spending umpteen millions on cyclists and facilitating them, and tough luck for the poor people that have poor health.
And you've no choice, but unless you hire a chauffeur, you've no choice but to drive from what you're saying.
Exactly. No. I don't really like. I need transport under me.
Okay, stay with us, Brian. And Brian, do you find it even hard at the moment talking?
Oh yes, as you can, you might be able to hear me now.
I can hear you.
Once I'm talking for more than a few minutes,
we'll take it.
It hinders my breathing and causes me a bit of distress. Yes.
And is the shop under threat if this new scheme?
Well, let's, you know, I can't foresee the future, but like the thing is, like, I'm sure it's bound to be. Like, if people cannot, you know, park anywhere near the store in city centre, you know, we sell expensive equipment, and they don't want to be walking around town with bags of expensive equipment, which is only obvious, you know.
Okay, stay with us, Brian, and hopefully you're sitting down and. And I really appreciate your not just you, but your contribution of that shop, Birmingham Cameras. We all know it. You might, you know, I know a lot of very specialist photographers use it, and then the likes of myself use it when they're looking for a decent pair of binoculars or whatever. But anyway, stay there, Brian. Jackie Moran is in Ballyfermot. I asked Brian would his business close because of this whole thing to get the family motorists out of the capital. Jackie, you're in Ballyfermot. What will happen if this new system comes in up your road?
Hiya, Joe. This is Jackie from the Flower Shop in Ballyfermot on the main road.
Yeah,
in the area 40 years, Joe.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if this comes to pass, we won't have parking outside. And you know, as I know, like, we're community florists here. Mm-hmm. And all the people is going to be divided in Ballyfermot. So it's just absolutely ludicrous what they're trying to do. You know, bring the buses up to Ballyfermot. And can I just make one point, Joe? It's because Liffey Valley is going to be the hub for buses.
Okay.
And they want to railroad buses through Ballyfermot. I don't think, personally, it's for the people of Ballyfermot. I think it's to get the people that's going to Liffey Valley quicker into town. And that's my view on it. Now, I do know everything has to change in life.
Yeah.
But if they do this, the community in Ballyfermot is going to be divided. The shops are going to be divided.
And how is it going to be divided? Explain that again. I'm conscious it's radio.
Because
and a lot of people don't know the main road in Ballyer because it's no use if you're trying to take a shortcut to anywhere because it's always so busy. Why will it divide Ballyfermot?
Because the people of the lower end won't be able to get up through Ballyfermot to come to air shops. Because
okay.
it's going to be a nightmare with traffic.
Yeah.
With all the new turns, you can't turn left. You have to go down and up the main road. So they and all the side roads in Ballyfermot is going to be affected so bad because all the traffic is going to flow onto them. So it's, you know, like it's dividing the bottom end of Ballyfermot with
Market
from the people.
So what about people say, well, you're getting more buses, Jackie. What's the problem?
Well, Joe, I think the more buses is going to be express buses going through Ballyfermot. And air service at the moment is very, very good. I'm not denying things have to change.
I know, I hear buses. That, yeah.
But, you know, air buses at the moment is very good for people in Ballyfermot. Like, I know they want to bring cycle lanes in, but a person from Ballyfermot is not going to cycle into town to Arnott's to get two duvets and cycle back. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Of course I do, yeah.
You know, so, like, this is what we're at. Like, I mean, it's not feasible for small businesses to keep going. And as well as that, like, the corporation tax they're going to lose. I mean, my doors will close. I have two girls working for me here for the past 28 years.
Right.
Their jobs will go. And my family is a family-run business. All of us are employed in the business, you know. So this is where we're at. This is what I'm trying to get across to everybody, you know. And the people in Ballyfermot don't want this. The roundabout going, that is absolutely ludicrous to take that roundabout over there when the traffic flows so well around it. There's never been an accident on it. When they took the roundabout off Wayne's Cross, there's nothing but accidents out there.
Just to explain, I think a lot more people might know the roundabout. It's the big roundabout at the Church of the Assumption, that massive church at Lower Ballyfermot. You use it if you're cutting across from the Lucan Road, Palmerstown bypass. You're cutting across, say, to Walkinstown. You come up and you go through the roundabout, which never seems to be a problem. And you're up Kylemore Road and then you're into the, across the Nace Road into the different part of the city. Where's Mary Murphy? Marie.
Hi, Joe.
The roundabout. Tell us why this roundabout is becoming a major issue.
Because they want to take it away. And in our opinion, in our educators' opinion, we think it's because there's a statue of Our Lady on it. To start with, they want that out of the way and then get rid of the roundabout. Now, they're not only doing that, they're going to cut down all the mature trees. You know, all the trees coming down towards the Civic Centre. They're all earmarked to come down. All, you know, the housing estate between the junction of Drumfin Road and Leffenhugh Road, there's all trees there. They're all going to come down and they're going to take away the pathway there. So there's going to be no greenery in Ballyfermot and we can suck up all the fumes. So not only are they, I agree with everything that poor guy Jerry says, he's absolutely 100% correct about the parking outside the shops. How in the name of the Lord? Just for example, I'm not saying that one shop should have preference over another, but there's an undertaker's there. There's an undertaker's there. How are they going to get the bodies in and out? Carry them from somewhere?
Yeah.
Because if they're going to take away the parking.
Now, it is a massive...
You know what I mean?
It is one of the biggest roundabouts in the country at the Church of the Assumption there.
Yeah.
And
it's one of the biggest walking roundabouts, Joe.
Ballyfermot was built. And I mean, it's a landmark in Ballyfermot. And why should we have to do away with everything? If I can make a point here, if that was to happen in Dublin 4 or Dublin 6, by God, there'd be murder and it'd be done away with immediately. Absolutely stopped immediately.
Well,
but
I tell you,
for Dublin 10.
Well, you're right, Marie,
that's
in
my
one sense,
opinion.
Because if you go out to Fairview, Dublin 3.
Yeah. Oh, look what happened out there. That was disgraceful.
They kept the trees and they just simply, the trees weren't knocked down because it was a big public campaign out there of the great and the good to keep the trees. The trees were kept, and the road was just narrowed, and the family motorist, as anyone knows, come through it.
The family
motorist was completely discriminated against, and all you have to do is travel down the Clontarf Road at 7 o'clock in the morning. And look, you can't go through Fairview because it's effectively they turned Fairview into a cul-de-sac. So you look at the queue from the Clontarf Road round onto you, but nobody seems to care. All the motors just sit there. And I don't think they have any choice, but it's not an issue for the local councillors, it seems. Where's Alan Cook? Alan?
Hello, Joe. How are you?
0818 715 815. Go ahead, Alan.
A lot of traffic changes have been brought in by the City Council and by the politicians in the City Council. A lot of it without consultation. It's just been presented as fait accompli. Yeah. They would suggest that there has been some sort of a consultants or people have been consulted, submissions sent into the council. Yeah. Now, what I would suggest is that they actually have a petition online and let the public decide.
No, they won't. They won't. Are you?
It's the democratic way. They're denying
the people the democratic way. There was no intervention.
Sorry?
They told us this is the problem. They told us that they're not going to review this, that they've already had planning permission and it's already done and dusted. So they're not going to review it, no matter what we do. So the next problem I think we're going to have is, in Wales,
They tried to reduce the speed limit in certain areas down to 20 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they tested it on a small town. And the people rose up and said, no, we don't want this. It's creating mayhem. They had one ways, exactly the sort of system that you're talking about. They had one ways. They had the speed slowed. And in other areas, the traffic increased. And it made a nightmare for other people.
Yeah.
So what they did is they formed a petition.
Yeah.
And 500,000 people signed the petition. And they had to change everything. They had to change it all back. And that's what we need here. Let the people decide democratically.
Well, Eamon Ryan, I'm trying to remember the interview. I'm trying to actually find the interview. Eamon Ryan did an interview just before the minister, by the way, in fairness to in respect. The minister, Eamon Ryan, he's given many interviews about Dublin traffic, and he's given many, many interviews. He's on every single day, as they all are, but that's the nature of the brilliant democracy we live in. But he said that there had been public consultation. 68% of the people who contacted Dublin City Council were in favour of these new changes, especially on the quays in Dublin. But it turned out, one, it was only online. Two, you had to know about it, which a lot of people didn't. And three, there was no indication of who or what or participated. And then when actual numbers were released, when you got away from this miasma of percentage this and percentage that, the numbers who actually participated in this consultation, which is declared as being democratic, were minuscule, 0.1% of the population of Dublin. Now, I don't see, Alan, how you can... you say do a petition. When has a petition ever got us anywhere?
An online petition would give a much better indication of how the public would feel about closing down the city centre to just cyclists, pedestrians and taxis and buses only. I mean, there are people here in this country that haven't come to Dublin city centre for years. Firstly, they can't find their way around. And secondly, there's nowhere to park. They don't know how to get to the car parks. I asked a particular politician one time, is there a map of Dublin city centre? I went online and had a look myself, and the only maps I could find were two maps telling me how to avoid the city centre, none of the city centre itself telling me if there's a right turn here, a left turn there, whether it's one way or not. They keep changing everything, but they're not putting maps up online. And this politician told me that there are no maps, which I told him I didn't believe. But, you know, like, what's happening with Dublin City Centre? It's like as if the politicians and the council have taken this onto their own lap as such and decided they were going to do what they want with it and to hell with the public.
Well, this is it.
I think it's time that the public democratically decides what they wanted to do with our city.
A quote from the new Dublin City manager. If I can help climate efforts by making it a little bit more difficult for motorists, i.e. the private family motors, well then that's what I will do. I will make it more difficult for motorists.
And if businesses go bust in the city centre, they lack the rates. They don't get rates. Now, what they've done in the meantime, the city council have, they have changed the rates now. So if you've got an empty building, the owner has to pay full rates for the year. It used to be on a sliding scale. But you see, this is totally unfair, that if the city council come along, put a business out of business, the owner of the building, whether it be the business owner or whether it's the landlord, still has to pay full rents on that, even though it's empty. Now, that's not fair. If they forced them out of business, then they're still forced to pay their income, but to hell with everybody else's.
That's very true. That is very true, Joe. And I mean, how can they expect people to pay rates on a building that is vacant and they've got no way of getting an income? Well, but I mean, this is all to suit Canadians. That's who the NTA are. And they're being allowed to come in here and run amok over us.
What do you mean? Jackie, what do you mean the NTA are Canadians?
They're a Canadian company.
The NTA are a government quango. They're not a foreign entity, you know, foreign entity owns a national
level. I think what he's trying to say is that they don't live in Ballyfermot, they don't know what the system is. They don't know what the people are.
Yeah, you could also ask the city councillor, are you getting rid of the car parking spaces in your own head office? The answer is probably no.
Absolutely not. And they all drive big gas guzzlers and nobody's trying to take them off the road.
Well, I know they have free EV charging points in their underground car park, but also they also in one of the biggest rip-offs in a country that wallows in them, the Eastlink Bridge, which was supposed to be it's a single line bridge. A lot of people have no choice. It's a nightmare. The Dublin City Council now get over 4 million a year just from that bridge alone. From the dopey motorist who has no family motorist, who has no choice. So, by the way, sorry, I'd say this to Alan in particular. Alan,
yep.
read everyone's, and I can't go into the council election because you mentioned one, you have to mention 273 of them or whatever, and fair play for everyone who's standing for European and council elections. It's a great public service, well done, and I hope you all, one, have good health through the campaign, and two, everyone looks after each other. But that's neither here nor there. Alan, I read an interview with a number of councillors who were retiring, okay, and some of them quite young. Now, the headline said they were retiring because of abuse on social media. But when you read into the actual article, the main reason most of them were retiring is that they felt powerless, especially on Dublin City Council. They felt absolutely powerless. They said the city is now run by the full-time paid staff and the full-time paid administrator. So I don't think, Alan, your petition is going to get anywhere if the new Dublin City Manager says, my job is to make life more difficult for the family motorist.
Well, I would think that this is the right time to actually start a petition, because when the politicians come to your door, and I'm not talking about the councillors, I'm talking about the TDs.
Yeah, they'll all agree. All the councillors, I suspect, will agree with you, but the councillors are overruled most of the time, it seems, and I can't mention any of them by name. They seem to be overruled because many objections were raised in Dublin City Council to the nature of that consultation, to the fact that the quays are going to be shut down, to the fact that the administrators in Dublin don't seem to know there's a river cutting the city in two, and yet most people who are going to work or coming home from work or whatever or travelling have to get across the river. The only way you can get across the river apart from swimming is use one of the nine bridges between Euston Station and the Eastlink. The main bridge that works is Butt Bridge in terms of traffic, and now that's they come up with the incredible proposal to shut down Westland Row. And the line in the Irish Times was, when you come down Westland Row, instead of turning left into Pierce Street, which is to get to Butt Bridge to get over there, you're not going in to have a look at the fire station in Pierce Street. You go into Pierce Street so you can get to Butt Bridge, so you can get over the river. It's the main way of getting over the river. And the line in from the Dublin Corporation, instead of turning left into Westland Row, you will be diverted right away from the city. Where do they want people? Said that they want people to drive up into the Dublin Mountains every evening or whatever. It's ridiculous.
But that's exactly my point. There's no map telling you how to get around the city centre.
Because there is
elderly people who live in Dublin.
There is no way of getting round. If you, Alan.
Yeah, but like,
Are you a family motorist?
I am, yeah.
The state will take your money. Dublin City Council will take your money. But for the rest, you can get lost. Literally. Literally. And do not come into Dublin City Centre. And the main argument against, you heard it there, if I can do anything that helps the climate, private motorists don't help the climate, I don't mind making life more difficult for the family motorists. That's what's been done.
But if he puts all the businesses out of city centre, in the city centre, it's going to affect his wage packet. You see, and there's elderly people out there.
Are you joking me?
Are you joking me?
Now, you get the man or woman who has that job is a staff member, and they're entitled to be paid regardless of the income in any particular episode. Is Brian gone? Where's Brian from Birmingham Cameras? Is he gone? I want to go back to Brian. Okay, Joe at rt.ie 51551. We're talking about, I know it's very Dublin, but we do. Ballyfermot has a population, by the way, of 45,000, which is as big as Waterford, by the way. So it does deserve their space on the national platform as well. Joe at rt.ie 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, as people might know, major changes to Dublin City traffic are coming into effect in about 8 weeks, the 1st of August. Bus gates will be operational on Bachelor's Walk and Aston Quay. That's the two keys on either side of the in order to restrict drivers, that's family motorists, from travelling through the city centre. And it means only buses, taxis, cyclists and pedestrians will be allowed to use the keys, which is a big... But it's coming in. Only public transport, pedestrians would be allowed access the keys. And there have been lots of objections from councillors and businesses, and... it's had little impact, and it's coming in on the 1st of August. And basically, family cars are going to be banned from the Dublin City Quays. I don't know where you go, but that's the family. And the Quays, there's a hint in the name. The Quays are on either side of a river. A car cannot, or any vehicle, or any person, cannot get across a river without a bridge. And that's why they have to travel into the city centre, the family motors, is to get across their river. Unless they put a Golden Gate Bridge between Howth and Dunleary, that's not going to change for a long, long time. Is Brian back? Brian, Alan says, I'm sorry, Alan, I didn't mean that tone that just came out there. Let's start a petition. Do you think that would make a difference, Brian? You've been there for 50 years at O'Connor Bridge.
No, I've been fighting this for quite a number of years. Before the Rosie Hackett Bridge was built, I was on own Keegan and Company on quite a number of occasions about this, losing parking spaces and spaces for the likes of myself and so on. Okay, I did win, and we did get four car parking spaces and one disabled space between the Rosie Hackett Bridge and Butt Bridge, but that's all gone now. You've heard so many people saying, and you know yourself, they will just do what they want to do, immaterial. But the big thing, Joe, is that these people who are instigating all of these new actions all use their own private cars to get into their own free parking spaces. This is a total irony, you know.
The spokesperson, I'm going back over news copy for the last few weeks. A spokesperson for Dublin City Council said 60% of the motor traffic in the city centre was through traffic, and that had to be dealt with. But the reason why it's through traffic, they're not sightseeing, they're getting over the river that divides the city in two. And there's only, if they're going from one part of the city, you have to get across that river. And there are only a certain number of bridges, and most of them, like the East Link, is a disaster, even though you pay to be abused, so to speak, by the narrowness of the road. And five truck lanes coming in on top of you as you try to get over. Do not go near it. But a lot of people have no choice, and you'll be charged 260 or 270 for the privilege of being a... of being abused, so to speak. I don't speak literally, obviously. But the council line is 60% of motor traffic at the city centre is through traffic. But the reason why it's through traffic is because of the river and the bridge and the bridges.
But the big thing too is, you know, it's people's livelihoods, Joe. I mean, it's bound to have huge problems for people in... Well, retail, which is the bulk of what the city centre is, you know. I mean, how in God's early name are people, well, just say Christmas time, going to be able to carry four or five bags, a few hundred yards to whatever they're going to be using, a Lewis or a bus or whatever. And at the end of the day, too many people will refuse to use buses and Lewis's because of the persistently bad name that they have for... Well, all sorts of problems,
okay.
As we all know.
The spokesperson for Dublin City Council, the public consultation on the plan received more than 3,000 responses, which was a high level, according to the administrators and DCC, a high level of engagement. That's 0.0. I thought it was about 0.1. It's about 0.0001 of the population of Dublin. And my understanding, I wasn't aware of the... You had to go online. My understanding was that the questions were... narrow enough, to say the least. Narrow enough. The majority they went further on the 3,000 responses. Wait for this. The majority of public transport users, obviously, and the majority of car drivers were in favour of the plans to restrict traffic in the city centre. Now, I don't know how, from an online consultation where you don't know who's actually giving their feedback, I don't know how you determine whether they're car drivers, bus drivers, donkey and cart drivers, or bumper car drivers. But they say the majority of public transport users and the majority of car drivers of these 3,000 were in favour of plans to restrict traffic in the city centre.
Well, let's face it, Joe. That's a load of bull. I'm sure the 3,000 people were all pals of those who work in Dublin City Council, who were all who were informed about this. And please put in your ideas, because it wasn't the general public.
What a councillor said, just so I won't say who it is, given we're in the middle of an election.
WhatsApp to all their members to send in submissions, for sure.
Well, one councillor said, the plan has been driven by the executive of Dublin City Council, no input from councillors, and would very likely end up in the courts. Business groups, residents object to the plan, and he said people were not informed about it. Another councillor moved an emergency motion that the plan be put on hold until the views of people with disabilities are heard and incorporated into the plan. He said Dublin City Council would be in breach of the UN Convention on Disability. Well, the plan was not put on hold. And I won't go on to the other arguments. But it seems another councillor said, because of lack of consultation, until there was proper consultation, this councillor said, I'd be voting against the plan. Another councillor said, the plan would send increased traffic into residential areas such as Stony Batter and the East Wall. Another councillor said that people would often like to cycle or walk, but with stormy weather such as over the last month, they often had no alternative but to drive due to inadequate public transport. And the response from WCD Council was, we will contact all disabled persons representatives organisation, and we will consult with them. He said he could not answer it. The plan was vulnerable to legal challenge. But anyway, the councillors seemed to be totally... powerless in this, totally powerless. There seemed to be an argument between the councillors and the executive and City Hall 1. The executive, and you can't beat City Hall.
Well, as we know, Joe, sorry, just for a quick second there. You know, Mr Keegan classed himself as an autocrat.
Well, he's retired now, And he made no bones about the fact that
he didn't know. And now, very straight, Mr. Shakespeare is going down exactly the same road as he did, and he is not making there's no give or take with him with regards to the likes of people whose livelihoods depend on city centre or the likes of myself and thousands of others trying to get into the city centre. It's just tough luck, really, as I said already, you know.
And if the city centre is that irrelevant and that chock-a-block, why is the headquarters of Dublin City Council in the city centre?
Yeah, and they have to, all the employees of Dublin City Council have to drive through to get
well,
to
I'm
their...
Sure a lot of them, I'm sure, in fairness, a lot of them cycle and use public transport.
Well. 300 spaces in their car park, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. Leave it at that for this. Brian Whelan, will you look at... Brian, how are you managing at the moment, Brian?
At the moment, I've been a bit unwell for the last few days, so I'm actually at home.
Oh God! So there's Birmingham. Are you there, Brian? Yeah, Birmingham. There's Birmingham's camera shop. What's the other famous camera shop in the city centre?
Oh my God! Is there another one?
Ah, stop it now! It used to be up the top of Grafton Street.
That's the camera centre at the top of Grafton Street.
Oh, yeah. And then in
Clarendon Street, you have Conn's Cameras, which is another
Conn's
famous shop.
Brilliant. Three brilliant shops. Seriously now. Great. Yeah. And great for a browse, and you always have something new, and they're such a part of the fabric, that type of shop. And Brian, will you look after yourself, please? Please look after yourself.
Okay, and, thanks again, Joe.
And Brian, remember, you have, just behind you there on Bourke, you have the biggest development in Dublin in over a decade with the new Hawkins House development and the new street, Royal Theatre Way. It's going to be, I don't know, what's going to be in there? Offices or apartments or shops? Or?
I'm not exactly sure, Joe, to be honest. But like, let's face it, if there's going to be a few thousand people whether walking there,
which is great,
there,
which
or whatever.
Is great, yeah. But
yes, in one sense, but you know, what are these people going to do with cars? I mean, they will obviously have to have cars and have to drive in and out of the city centre to get there.
Okay, stay there, Brian. Where's Leanne? Leanne in Coolock in Dublin. Go ahead, Leanne. Your contribution, please.
I have a 21-year-old son who has tuberous sclerosis and epilepsy.
Okay.
So at the minute, we attend Temple Street quite regularly, and sometimes, like the last 2 weeks, we've had to get ambulance the last two Saturdays for a seizure. So my fear that's come true in the last few weeks is, how are we going to get to this new hospital that they've built, that I'm hearing like half the hospital might open because they haven't got the staff.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm worrying, how are we going to get there? Like, sometimes we can drive in and we can be in there 7 to 10 minutes if there's light traffic. But that's never going to happen going into south side from north side. Like, and then with the added pressure of the traffic, more and more people are going to be looking for ambulances.
For half the population, you're bang on, Leanne, because for half the population of Dublin, to get to the new children's hospital, and by the way, for half the population of the country, you have to cross the Liffey. You have to cross the Liffey. And there's only one way across the Liffey, unless you're lucky enough to live out near the M50. There's only one way to cross the Liffey, and that is over the bridges that are on the quays of Dublin. The quays of Dublin.
Exactly.
And the quays of Dublin will be closed to the family motors.
Yeah, which is us, because we have a child that is sick.
Yeah.
And the only way I'd know to get to James's or the new hospital is straight across the quays.
Yeah, straight across the river, which means you have to get onto the quays. Okay. And when you say in the last few weeks you had to ring, do you ring an ambulance or what do you do, Leanne, to get to Temple Street?
We've rang an ambulance a couple of times. We've tried to get in ourselves because just if it's the middle of the night, sometimes we go in ourselves. Yeah. But the last couple of times we've been blessed. The fire brigade usually comes first and looks after them, and then an ambulance will come. The last time it came from Finglas, before that it came from the city centre. So it just depends. Kilbarrack is only down the road from us, so usually Kilbarrack Fire Station comes down.
Yeah, great.
They look after them.
Once they're not busy, there's only one ambulance in Kilbarrack, one pump and one ambulance. And I'm sure they are. We know Dublin City Fire Brigade ambulance, a brilliant, brilliant service, but it's run off its feet. It's non-stop. But they are brilliant and they will do their utmost, because they're one of our own. The men and women of Dublin Fire Brigade are all, they know what it's like to live in the city, and they're absolutely brilliant.
Exactly.
But I take your point. And Temple Street Hospital, still as good as ever, is it, Leanne?
Yeah, they're doing wonderful work with us.
They really do. They reared my kids. They were like, I was selling them out, but my God, you'd get great help. You really did. And yeah, I know I was near Temple Street, but I'm sure Crumlin is as good. But they're brilliant, brilliant institutions. And hopefully when we move to this magnificent new, the best children's hospital in the world, hopefully we'll be able to proudly say within a year.
So they that, say, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it will. I think it will. But hopefully this old issue of maybe they'll move the... Can we not move the river? Can we
they
not move the river, Leanne?
They have to come up with some sort of plan, a hospital plan or something.
Joe Forty, could we not divert? Could you not meet me down there in Chapel Lizard? And we'll divert...
I will in a canoe, Joe.
And we'll divert to Liffey. We'd pave in the Liffey from Euston Station down to East Link, and it'd be a lovely pedestrian walk away, especially for cyclists. It'd be absolutely gorgeous. That's what we have to do. Move the Liffey. Move the Liffey from the Liffey. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Bridget. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Leanne, Jackie, Alan, Mary, Brian, all the other callers.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
It's a long, long way, but it's not heaven. It's Dublin and traffic. Where is Gary? Gary, your point, please.
Hiya, Joe. Yeah, good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Short of moving the Liffey, I just want to speak in favour of traffic restrictions in Dublin City. And I'll give an example. Last weekend, when the rugby match was on in town, I was meeting the family in town. Normally, we drive in and watch the match inside. And this time around, we just discussed it with my wife and said, look, the traffic, the keys are, you know, traffic is restricted. You have bus lanes, you have cycle lanes, all the rest of it. Why don't we just take the car down to Strathan Village and get the bus from there?
Okay, good idea.
Hop into town. So, and part of it was, yeah, let's do our bit for the climate. Let's take a public transport service that's going to run anyway and leave our car at home. So the fare was 6.70 return, which is excellent. So we popped into town, found a decent pub up on Ainger Street, thoroughly enjoyed the match and a couple of scoops while we were there.
Okay.
And had a meal, and then came out afterwards. And, you know, I hear people talk about how bad the transport system is in town. You and I will know, Joe, I'm 62. Mm-hmm. I started working life as a bus conductor with CIE back in the day when the transport in Dublin City was poor. We now have an excellent Lewis service that gets you to most destinations.
Two lines only.
I know,
but it is only two lines. We have 104 bus routes, which is brilliant, that never get a look in.
But the bus service is much better than when I worked back in the day. And we have to do our bit to reduce congestion in the city and reduce our climate stuff. And for the lady, I just caught a little bit of what a lady said there earlier about having a sick child. Okay, if there's emergencies in town and people need to get to hospitals quickly, either in taxi or in ambulances, the less traffic there is around town,
good
the quicker
point,
they'll get there.
Okay, good
you know?
Point.
So we have to, you know, we have an existential threat called climate change that people just don't grasp. And we have to all start doing our wee bit to do it. So that would be my thoughts on the job.
And then, okay, I take your point, Gary, and it's very well made. But if there's an existential threat to the environment, why have the government completely rolled back on support for electric cars? You almost feel a pariah now if you have a fully electric car. There's very few chargers. You get loads of promises, very few chargers. And then all these scare stories about electric cars and the value going down and the grant went down dramatically.
A really good question that you asked, Joe, and I don't understand the answer. Not to be alarmist, but the train of thought that is proposing now that...
The main reason they were against... Okay, I know about capacity and all, but the main reason they were against the family motors was because of petrol and diesel cars. Then there was a campaign to try and encourage people to buy, if they could afford them, to buy electric cars. And the price has now gone up because of the grant has gone down, the little grant that was available. And also you're told if you buy an electric car, you're basically condemning yourself to own it for 20 years because you'll never be able to sell it. But anyway, Gary, thanks indeed. That's Gary Doyle. Bridget, good afternoon.
Hello,
Bridget,
I'm just bringing Can you hear me?
Loud.
Yeah, I'm just ringing about the fact my son is an electrician.
Okay.
And a couple of weeks ago, he was sent to Capel Street to do some work there. Now, there's no cars allowed in Capel Street.
No.
Well, so he had to look for an underground.
After 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, after you can do deliveries up to 11 o'clock. But if you're a working person, an electrician, and you're sent to do a job there, you cannot go in with your car. So he had to drive around until he found an underground car park. Take his toolbox then to Capel Street. Lucky enough, he didn't need a ladder. Do the job and go back to the underground car park again.
Yeah.
Now, I think seeing that they are encouraging young people to take on apprentices, to take on apprenticeships.
Mm.
If this is going to be the case, a lot of people wouldn't want to have to spend time carrying a heavy toolbox around the city because they're not allowed park near or where. Same things happen. He goes over to Stephen's Green regularly. There's no place for an electrician to park a car. You must find an underground car park or some kind of a car park. And he parked it on a street one day and there was a bit of the windscreen, not the windscreen, the windscreen wiper broken. So I think that...
And Bridget, by the way, if you park on the street or indeed in an underground car park in Dublin, you'll spend half your daily wages.
You will, of course.
It's extortionate.
Now, I think, that it's about time.
But that's deliberate. That's to keep the family motorists out. The family motorists
is everyone in a four-wheel vehicle.
That includes your son's van and also includes anyone in a commercial van or indeed a truck or indeed a family car. Priority is to bikes and to public transport, which is understandable. Michael, thanks, Bridget.
Can I just finish?
Of course you can, yeah.
I don't see how you could bring a toolbox on a bus or a ladder on a bus or on a bicycle because they're too heavy.
Yeah, I know.
And if they want the likes of the businesses in Cable Street, there's a good few businesses that I used to deal with regularly, they will close because if they can't get looked after and things repaired that go out of order, what's going to happen? They'll have to close down. It just doesn't make sense. Thank you very much anyway.
And thank you, Bridget, and well done to your son. It's a great trade and a really necessary trade as well. As an electrician, we all depend.
He's talking about trying to find something else because
he's totally
demented.
Oh, yes, God.
Because he said he is so tired of parking someplace. Yeah. You don't know whether to be there when you come back or not and carrying this toolbox, which is very heavy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Joe,
Bridget,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Bridget. Michael, your point, please. You're a bus driver.
Yes, hello there, Joe.
Go ahead. Your point, please, Michael.
Well, Joe, every day I drive into Dublin and I find that the keys north and south, I've come to the opinion that the north and south keys should be closed off between 4 and, we say, between 6 and 10 a.m. and 4 and 8 p.m. in the afternoons, purely from a point of view of traffic. Because even when at the busy times, at 9 a.m. in the morning, around about then, you'll find that even the bus lanes are jammed solid. And, you know, something has to be done in relation to that. With checking traffic crossover points, like of Houston Station, the AFSC and maybe two or three other points along the way that you could be able to cross over. But at least between those hours, some traffic needs to be, limited along the north and south keys, basically.
And would you shut the bridges?
Some of them, certainly, yes.
Well,
how
do people get over the Liffey?
Well, as I say, designated crossover points, probably.
That's what we have at the minute. There's not many bridges. Divided in most of them, apart from O'Connor Bridge, are one way in either direction.
Well, I'm sure that would have to be discussed and looked at, but at the same time,
you're right, but you're saying, are you saying that if someone wants to get from the north side to the south side, a Versa Vice, as Sean O'Casey would say, you go take the M50?
Not particularly, but
How do you get over the river? How do you get over the river?
The designated crossover points, John.
They're called the nine bridges. You want to reduce it to two?
No, I think four, maybe five. Four or five, maybe at the most.
So what ones would you close? There's not many left now. There's a Frank Sherwin bridge. Okay.
Yeah.
That's at Euston Station. You have the James Joyce Bridge at Queen Street, which is narrow enough. You have Queen Street Bridge, at Bargain Town there, which is even narrower. You have Capel Street Bridge, which is wide, but the traffic now has gone out of Capel Street. So maybe shut that one down, wouldn't we? Because there's no.
No, I'd use that one.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Then we've the Sean O'Casey Bridge, but that's pedestrian. We've the Hapenny Bridge, that's pedestrian. Then we've O'Connor Bridge. Are we keeping that open?
Well, O'Connor Bridge would have to be used. You'd have to keep that open. Yeah.
Then we've Butt Bridge, probably the most important bridge in terms of getting over the Liffey. Do you shut that one down?
No, I wouldn't. Okay. I have to say that'd be a very difficult one to shut down. No, fair
then we've the Frank Sherwin Bridge at Bus Aris.
Yeah. Why that's probably not an easy one to shut down either.
Okay. And then you have to, then you have the cash cow. Then you have the lotto for Dublin City Council. And that is the Eastlink Bridge.
And that's a different story now, in fairness. That's going out in a different direction now. You're looking at heading towards the M11 and all the rest of it in that direction.
The Eastlink.
You have to use that. You'd have to use that, certainly.
So there's no bridge you can shut down.
Well, not many of them. I wouldn't say shut down all of them, but certainly what I'm promoting is that north and south quays at certain times of the day need to be closed off for buses and taxis and stuff like that, because it's very difficult at the minute, certainly at peak times in the morning. I know when I'm driving in the morning times that along the north quays, it's very difficult. You're slow. It's very slow.
But
it's
also made difficult the fact that it's become much narrower.
That's true.
The boardwalk.
The other thing is about the cycle lanes. The cycle lanes on the left hand side up until such time as you come to the forecourts, and then suddenly the cycle lanes is a specialised cycle lane on the right hand side towards the river, all the way down then into Bachelor's Walk, and you have cyclists crossing over from one side to the other, and they're still using the bus lanes as well, which is a difficulty. Yeah.
And Michael, would you? I know people love it. Would you cycle in Dublin City Centre, Michael?
I would. I'm originally from the Liberties myself, but I would cycle in Dublin. But I would say this: that it is much more dangerous than it used to be. Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid to cycle in Dublin City Centre now. In fairness.
Yeah. Okay, why did I just, I mentioned, the Lewis was mentioned earlier on, it's absolutely brilliant, it's only two lines. I was looking at the Google Earth the other night, if they want, I drew a line from Broombridge to Dublin Airport, and I'm not an expert on anything, but I drew a line from Broombridge to Dublin Airport, you know all this yap about the metro and 25 years hence and 73 billion hence and all this carry on, you would have a fair go at running the Lewis from Broombridge to Dublin Airport by building about three bridges over main roads, and you'd get there. And it could be done in 2 or 3 years, I think. But why? Okay, Michael, will you mind yourself? You provide a great service. I think Dublin. I don't know how you do it, Brian. Michael, Dublin bus drivers. I was on the bus last Saturday, and I normally sit down and have
just
a chat with the driver.
I don't work for Dublin Bus. I work for another private company. Okay
but my my solidarity for Dublin bus drivers, because I don't know how they do it. Anyway, good to meet you, Morgan, and thank you for your service, Michael. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Brian Merriman. Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
And if it's the same Brian Merriman, it's Brian Merriman, the wonderful musician and director. Is it the same Brian?
Yes, but more of it is. Remember me from your National Youth Council days.
Of course
days,
I do.
The Catholic Youth Council, yes.
Yes, and
you
were also great... you were director, weren't you, of musicals and fantastic pedigree. Okay, Brian, we're talking about this this statement by the Pope and then this use of this awful word. Do you know the word he used?
Well, my Italian is poor and I've never heard of it. I think it's Frattiagini. I wouldn't order that in a restaurant now if I were you, but it's something like that. Which is a very derogatory word used from years ago. It's like muffy in South Africa. It's like bakla in the Philippines, etc. I don't know actually of any similar word in the Irish language, interestingly enough. But there's always been slurs used, and it is indeed. Is it a surprise? No. But when the Pope goes into a room full of bishops and feels comfortable enough to use slurs, and most particularly about his gay clergy and gay seminarians.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really wonder what's going on.
And by the way, the word, I'm not allowed to use it either, I'm told, yeah. But the word is the word that Shane McGowan uses in Fairy Tale of New York, yeah. which play, by the way, and Ronan Keating did not use in his version of Fairy Tale of New York. Does that get us anywhere?
Well, I don't think any of us were ever insulted by Shane. No.
But it's not a nice word.
No, it's not a nice word. It's part of, once again, you know, it's part of what the whole political landscape is, the word to dehumanise people. But what worries me about it is this, is that, you know, he's a man who's been, he says one thing to one audience and another to another. Mm. But most particularly, he goes into a closed door room with a load of bishops. Yeah. And he feels that's the safest environment to use it. And of course, there's no indication that any of the bishops stood up and said, don't do that.
And the fact that the defence seems to be that the Pope Francis in particular has reached out to the LGBT community plus.
When you look at all his statements, you know, he tends to speak to his audience. But what I'm sad and sorry about in particular here is all the good young men, and some of them are gay, who are, you know, while volunteering and going into seminaries today in a very tough life. I mean, you know, there's no longer automatic respect, etc. But for them to hear their main man refer to them, and he said it specifically, we have enough of them in the seminaries and in the clergy. How on earth can anybody who's ministering the words of a God of love and relying on all his clergy to do so describe that? And even the apology went, oh, but I said it behind closed doors. Oh, my God. I mean, that's where the truth comes out, you know. And no bishop has come out. Like, did they snigger? Did they laugh? Did they agree? These are the people they're going to send out on the missions. These are the people they're going to put into the poor and the crisis-stricken areas all around the world, who will actually do the Lord's work properly.
Yeah.
And they're being spoken about in that
and
way.
And to come out with a line saying there's too much effetry, so to speak, put in the middle bit yourself. Shane McGowan, there's too much effetry in the church is upsetting people. I stay with us, Brian, because I want to talk to a great colleague of all of us and a great campaigner, Bernard Lynch, after the break. Stay with us, Brian Merriman.
Yeah. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
If you want any more proof that the world has gone mad. The former US ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, you all got to know her during the debates, the US presidential, Republican presidential debates, and she was emerging as the most likely opponent to Trump. She lost that. She now endorsed Trump. She's photographed in the last few minutes, standing beside American shells. Now, when I say American artillery, they're 4 foot high. You recognise them. And she's writing with a marker on these shells, which are going to the Israeli army, the IDF. Finish them, exclamation mark. America loves Israel, always will, signed Nikki Haley. Bernard Lynch. Bernard, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe.
God, did you hear that line I just read out from Nikki Haley on artillery? Finish them. America loves. Oh, God. Anyway.
Absolutely atrocious. Yes,
I feel almost trivial going to what the Pope said. But you have such experience of America as well. Bernard, everyone knows you're going way, way back, and you're not just your Late Show appearance, but your campaigning, your courageous campaigning over the years. Bernard, are you still a priest?
Well, I mean, Joe, as you know, and everybody knows, once a priest, always a priest.
Okay.
And I came out as a gay man in 1985.
Yeah.
And from that time up and until now, I have never been allowed to earn my living as a priest. As I said this morning to your researcher, I have not been defrocked, but they took away my purse.
So, okay.
Big sin in the Catholic Church is honesty, as you know well.
Yeah. And you're based in London now. And Bernard, what do you think of what the Pope said, and both the use of that word, the effigy word, so to speak, and the words around it about no gay seminarians, please.
I think that's the most damaging thing, when we know darn well that at least half the clergy are gay. You know, I'm inclined to presume a good man, a priest, is gay until I can prove otherwise. I've run a group here since 1992 for gay clergy, and I've had over 100 priests, quote-unquote, come through our doors. And they're decent human beings. And, of course, this goes to the very heart of their priesthood in a very destructive way. Now, this Pope hasn't been the worst. We've had two predecessors who have been homophobic absolutes, John Paul and Benedict. He has tried. But as Brian said there, your last speaker, you know, nothing has changed fundamentally. We are still held as being disordered in our nature and evil in our love. And the worst, just lately, you know, seminarians or men who never even dream of having women, men are not welcome if their orientation is gay. And I'm only talking about orientation. I'm not talking about sexual activity.
And the Pope said in a previous comment, he said this leads to a double life.
Well, it does. If a man, you know, is pledged to celibacy, which I no longer am. I have a husband, as you probably know.
Yeah.
Bill. But if a man is, and whether it's with a woman or with another man, it is a double life, and it's very self-destructive. A whole other question, of course, we do not have to have a celibate priesthood, but unfortunately that's what the law says at the moment.
The Pope, is there any excuse in age and language and interpretation and translation, Bernard?
Well, the best excuse, I don't mind using the word faggots because I'm quoting what I've been called one many times myself. In the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, I was pelted with beer bottles and so on and so on. And told
it's not nice of the Pope to use it.
It's not. It's terrible. It's like if you want, and maybe the analogy, I don't know how watertight it is, we're not allowed to use the N-word for black people, and rightly so. But black people do themselves use that, you know,
in a constructive
banter or hilarity or whatever. And the same is true with some gay men. They do use that between themselves sometimes.
Okay,
and somebody made out that he was using it in that way because he knew so many of his fellow bishops are gay. Now, I wonder about that.
Okay.
I really wonder about that.
Sorry to truncate the conversation, Bernard, but great to hear you again, as with Brian Merriman. Thank you both. And may Nikki Haley, I'm looking at the photograph. By the way, she put out the photograph of her signing bombs in Israel that are going to rain down on the children of Gaza. Finish them. America loves Israel, always. Nikki Haley. Well, Nikki Haley, may you rue the day that you wrote such an obnoxious thing at such an awful time in the world's history. Tara Lockter, Grant produced, and Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Revamp your home this May with our fresh new curtain embedding designs. Discover comfort and style for every room.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.